I said, check 1, 2, 1, 2. Welcome to the Bipolar Bear Podcast with yours truly, Garrett Michael Conklin. Man, it's been a while. It's been a minute, right? I've been out for a bit, but I got some updates for y'all. Hope you've been good. I've been all right. You know, working hard. New job got me going crazy, but I'm now the integrator, so that's kind of cool. I was looking forward to that kind of an opportunity in the EOS model. Maybe I'll talk a little bit about that as well today. But let's get started with some updates, because I have a couple of cool things I wanted to talk about. First and foremost, I don't know what is going on with the podcast, but this Music Resume 101 episode that I did like in 2019, I don't know, just all of a sudden out of nowhere got shit tons of plays. So maybe I'll touch on some music stuff today. And I will, because one of my updates has very much to do with Spotify and the other has to do with music publishing. So maybe this will be a music publishing kind of an episode. I just got home from work, so if I sound a little manic, I am. I'm like, bah! I'm kind of, you know, turburgling over here. So yeah, I'm kind of flipping out a little bit, but that's okay. Anyway, I wanted to start off with saying that, you know, my new job's going great. So if you've been wondering about that or give two rats asses about it, it's been pretty good. I mean, the drive kind of sucks. I won't deny that, but the people are great and I feel rewarded and I've calmed myself down and things are going pretty good. So I'm kind of getting into the swing of things. Having some really good working session meetings. One of the other leaders that's from Texas is coming in tomorrow. Sorry, not tomorrow. Next week for the whole week. So that'll be next week will be a fun week. I'm looking forward to that. But anyway, some really cool updates. Ready? So I don't know if any of you are into watches. I don't know where this came from either. Just like out of nowhere, all of a sudden I'm like into watches. And I'm not talking like an Apple Watch. I'm talking about an automatic timepiece. Let's be very elegant about it. So I'm talking about not a clunker, you know, like a decent watch, something that, you know, like a self-winder. So I've been looking around and I landed on this, I don't know what model it is, but it's a 21 Jewel Series automatic Bulova watch. Wow, what a nice timepiece. I went with kind of a classic. It's a titanium watch with 21, looks like rubies. They're red jewels. You can see all the movement. And, you know, basically it winds itself as you shake your hand and move around and keep moving. As long as you don't leave it sit for longer than 24 hours, it will never need a battery. Obviously, it doesn't have a battery. It'll never need anything. But even if it does stop, here's a trick that I learned that I didn't know about this. If you ever buy an automatic, a non-winding watch, a self-winder like this, for it to keep accurate time, if it dies or at the first time you use it, you have to actually spin the dial. So let's say it died at one o'clock, right on the nose, 1 o'clock. You have to spin the dial 24 hours. So all the way around the 1 o'clock again, 24 hours, and then it will keep accurate time. Who the hell would have known that? So the guy that helped me at, I bought this from Jared, the Galleria of Jewelers. And Jared, if you're listening out there, I'd love to be an official sponsor of Jared Jewelers, the Galleria of Jewelry, but I'm not. But this watch was just over $300, so nothing crazy. But while I was in there, I kind of built a rapport with the sales guy. And, you know, Jared actually carries some pretty pricey shit. So they have Omega watches as well as Rolex. And they have a bunch of other ones too, but I'm like, you know what, man, what is it? What is the difference between like a $300 to $500 watch, which was my budget for this, and like a $5,000 or $6,000 watch? So he's like, well, do you want to try one on? I'm like, yeah, let's make it happen. So we went over to the Omega section and I picked out one that was similar to the Bulova that I'm wearing now that I ended up buying. And it was $5,700. And let me tell you what, folks. Looks wise, it looked nice, but it didn't look strikingly like, oh my God, this thing's so amazing. But when I tell you feel, it was like night and day. And I love this Bulova that I bought. It's the perfect watch for me. It was in the right price range, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm not buying a $6,000 watch. But holy shit, is there a difference between a $300 to $500 watch and a $6,000 watch? And it's not as much in the visual aesthetics as much as it is what it feels like. This watch was very, like, this Bulova is pretty hefty, but the Omega was even more hefty. And I don't know, it was just as if somebody, I guess these are handmade, so it definitely felt like it. Holy cow, if you can afford one of these things, it's very compelling. I could see why, if you got $5,000 to spend on a watch or $6,000 to spend on a watch, why you'd buy one of these. If I had it, I would have absolutely have bought it. It was wonderful. And I'll say this, I tried on an $11,000 Rolex, just a standard Rolex. And I honestly like the Omega better than the Rolex for half the price. But still, when you step up into this next level of this next price range, holy shit, what a difference. I can see why rich people are wearing these really nice watches, because they're pretty awesome. But for me, $350 or whatever I paid for this Bulova in that range, that's all, that's what I can afford. That's the baller level that I'm at right now. But it's really nice. It's got like the perpetual motion secondhand, and it's got a couple of like circular cutouts in the face so you can see the movement, which is really cool, as well as on the backside. But what I really liked most about it is it's got a transparent clasp. So it looks like you're wearing like this perfect bracelet. It's really nice. So it's like a seamless union that comes together on the inside. So you can't tell where the watch comes together when you're looking at it on the wrist. It's really nice. I like it. It's got a real nice black face, and everything on it's silver. So it's really quite the watch. I dig it quite a bit, but it's about as simple as you can get. That's why it was only $350. But yeah, so big update there. I was pretty impressed with my ability to buy a Bulova watch. That was really cool. I like it a lot. So I highly recommend one from Jared, the Galleria of Jewelers. And let's talk a little bit about music publishing today. I've been kind of off the music topic for a while because, to be honest, I've been pretty butthurt, and I'll get into why later. But let me drop some knowledge on you. This will be Music Publishing 101. If you are not publishing your music, you are missing out on a lot of money as well as opportunities. So I am, in fact, a music publishing company. Bifocal Publishing is a real company. I have a real bank account. It's a real thing. It's a legitimate registered business. I have to pay taxes, all that crap. But I opened it in 1993 when I lived in New York City, because some guys that I worked with in the music industry back then, when I put my first albums out on Hangman Records, Butch Wax Records, and Hot Productions out of Miami, Florida, they hooked me up at BMI. So I went to Broadcast Music Incorporated physically, because they have an office in New York City. And I was signed up as not only a composer, as Garrett Michael Conklin, but as a publishing company, Bifocal Publishing. So these guys did hook me up. It was pretty cool. But what I'm going to talk about a little bit today is why it's so important, because there is money that's left on the table outside of streaming if you don't publish your music. So literally every time somebody plays a song of mine, I get mechanical royalties. I get something outside of just the money you get from Spotify or your distributor. I get paid for every time my song is played, no matter how long, how short, I get paid. And BMI is one of those organizations that tallies that kind of publishing money up, as well as you can, you know, affiliate with places like HFA, which is the Harry Fox agency that also handles mechanicals and things like that. But my point today is, if you're not affiliated with a publishing company as a composer, go get affiliated. Go sign up. I'm pretty sure anybody can do it. I don't think that you have, like when I was doing it back, you know, 30 something years ago, not everyone could do it. You had to have a referral and get brought in and be kind of like invited to the party, so to speak. But now you can just go online and create an account and start adding all of your music. If you've got lots of music out there, you're missing the boat. I just got almost $2,000 from publishing. Now it's quarterly, so that's not like money you could live on really, but I just got $2,000 in publishing that came, or around close to that, something. It was like one check was like seven. So it was like $1,500 or $1,600. But it's just money that comes in. This is what you talk, you know, this passive income that people talk about where you get paid. I don't even know what it's for. I'd have to go literally look at, maybe I should do that right now. I'll go look and see what it was for. So I'm just going to look at, so it, for me, because I'm a publisher and an artist, or a composer. I get two different statements, but for argument's sake, I'm going to just look at bifocal publishing, right? So this is going to show me, I had to pull up this, the form. So what I actually made, and they take taxes out for this as well. My actual total was $936.15 for Q1 of 2021. So you can imagine that was a long freaking time ago and I'm just getting paid for it now, Q1, right? But as I look through this, and it's really a shitty thing, it's difficult to look through, but it shows all of the songs. These are all like Tarumi, Walk on the Moon, Softly Said, Someday. Look at this, Softly Said. There's a shitload of plays. Wow. But I have a couple of songs that get a lot of plays and I make a shit ton of money off of the publishing. Like and this is what I'm going to tell you. This is Apple Verizon, Apple Weblink, Apple FAM, Apple Weblink Independent, AudioMac, Daily Motion, Deezer, Facebook, iHeart Free, iHeart All Access, Internet. I mean, there's just Pandora Plus, Pandora, Pandora Premium, Napster Premier, Slacker. There's just SoundCloud. Look at this, 45,000 plays from SoundCloud. Crazy, right? Here's 295,000 plays from SoundCloud. You got to go out there and get, look, 567,000 plays from SoundCloud. You got to go out there and get your publishing in order, people. I know I've said this before, 1.6 million plays, YouTube free. I mean, crazy stuff can come out of publishing if you go out there and publish your music. So if I can give you a public service announcement right now, go publish your music. Go get affiliated with ASCAP, BMI, or CSAC. So that's ASCAP is ASCAP, BMI is BMI, and CSAC is SECAC, I think. But those are the three major publishing affiliates in the United States anyway. Go get affiliated with one of those publishers and publish your music. You're leaving, because basically if you don't publish your music, it just, I don't know honestly what happens to it. It just goes nowhere, I guess. But there's a lot of money out there. Like that's more money. My publishing is more money than I'm making in streaming than streaming right now. Like I made like, I don't know, $300-$400 a month right now. So yeah, so I'm basically doubling my money because of the publishing that I have. Do yourself a favor. Go figure this out, take 20 minutes, and go publish your damn songs. It's so worth it because every single play you get paid for. Even on sites that don't pay you to play, this is what publishing is for. It's to collect the money for every single time your song is played anywhere. Right now, you can make shit tons of money if you do sync licensing and get your stuff put on like in advertising, video games, all that other stuff. And I'm not really up to speed on that stuff today, so I'm not actively doing that. But that's another way that publishing, I had mentioned, I made thousands and thousands of dollars on publishing based on a deal I had with MTV when they played I think it was three songs that I gave them that they took half the publishing on, but that I kept 50% of. For over like a 2 or 3 year period, I made thousands of dollars from that. So go out there. If you're a musician listening to this, if you follow me because you're a musician and you dig what I'm doing musically, go out there. If you're not already, I cannot stress and emphasize this enough. Go out there and get an account with BMI, ASCAP, or CSAC. They're all very much the same. Read the information. I just happen to be affiliated with BMI, but ASCAP is basically the same idea. Go out there and find the one that works best for you. Affiliate yourself and then spend the 3 or 4 hours or whatever it's going to take you to upload all of your songs and create a publishing catalog for yourself. Do yourself a favor. It's worth it. If you don't believe, if you don't give a shit about a couple thousand dollars, then I guess don't do it. But if you care at all about any money that you want to make, from your music, make sure you go and become affiliated as at least a composer with a publishing company. Enough said about that. Now, let me move on to what I did to myself on Spotify. You guys are going to love this because I committed suicide, basically. Because quite frankly, I've had enough of all the bullshit that goes along with Spotify. I've just literally, I've had enough. So let me run down some numbers. I know you hate, maybe you hate, I don't know, maybe you like this, maybe you don't, but I've always been a numbers guy. If I look at my newest release, it's called Sunlight, and I'm not shamelessly promoting it because nobody gives a shit about anything that I do here. It doesn't matter, musically speaking. I put it out on Tuesday and I have 36 streams. 36 fucking streams in a week, or, you know, 4 days. A song that I put out 2 weeks earlier, so it's been now a month, has 211 streams in a month. The song I put out before that in the last month, 97. The song I put out before that in the last month, 266. The song I put out before that, 205. The song I put out after that, oh, I have one that has 822. Wow. Fucking impressive. Woo, whoop-de-doo. So here's my thing about Spotify. Fuck you, Spotify. That's my thing about you. You guys talk about all this shit where you help independent musicians and you do all this and you got the little guy in mind. You fucking do not. You guys are a bunch of clowns. So let me tell you what I did. You know how you pitch a song? I pitched a song. I'm going to read to you what I wrote. Dear Spotify, in the description, I hate to do this here, but I have to. I have had 3 tracks on editorial playlists for a total of over 12 million streams over 2 years, and thank you much for that. But how is it that I have submitted over 40 songs since then, and you have not even considered one of them? While I appreciate that you get a ton of music, I have no conception of how you can just drop someone off the map like that. It's terribly depressing and counterproductive to the audience I was building that is now nearly gone. So that's what I just pitched to Spotify for my new song that comes out on October 5th. So they're either going to give me a double middle finger back or not see it as usual, and I will prove to myself and I will report back to everyone here if, in fact, they even listen and look at this shit, because I completely insult... I mean, I was kind of professional about it, but I basically told them to go fuck themselves, because it's absolutely bullshit that after over 40 songs, not one... They're all turds? 40 fucking submissions, and you're telling me every one of them's a piece of shit? Come on. Give me a fucking break. Are you kidding me? You couldn't throw me one bone? You gave me 3 tracks for 2 years, and then you just completely shove it up my ass. And I got nothing going on at all now, as I just read, right? Couple hundred play. I mean, my latest song has 27 fucking streams. Are you shitting me? Excuse me, 36 streams? Let me get the numbers right. That's ridiculous. And I'm not saying that I deserve to be some special case, but I am doing the thing by the goddamn book, by the formula. I'm releasing, I'm submitting, I'm doing everything. And normally my playlist pitches are way better than that. You know, they're legitimate. They're not some bullshit thing like that. They're actually real. Like, it'll say, here's a typical pitch. The last song that I did was Benzo. Benzo is a fun, atmospheric, and lounge-leaning, evoking the kind of lo-fi you would hear in a jazz-themed coffee shop. Beautiful floating guitars with a thick yet subtle horn melody and trumpet lines, spacious undertones, classic hip-hop beat throughout. Garrett Michael Conklin has had over 20 million streams on Spotify alone and held 3 beats on the Lo-Fi Beats playlist for 2 consecutive years, making this a choice for Lo-Fi Beats, Jazz Vibes, and Workday Lounge playlists. Thank you so much for the opportunity to submit music to you. That's what I typically write in there. Now, yeah, I think I've misrepresented myself. I don't have over 20 million streams on Spotify. Well, do I? Hang on, let me check. I'm checking. Hang on, I gotta do like songs, and I gotta do all time. I have releases. I don't know, how do I look at this where it shows me everything? It doesn't show you here. It shows you on Apple. Well, 6. So I have 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah. So I mean, I've got like, I don't know, maybe like 15 million on Spotify. Because really, the only songs that matter are Tarumi, Lazy Days, and Apartment are the only ones that are like well over, that have multi-millions of streams. Everything else is like in the 100,000 and below. But that's my point, is that, I mean, I've got How many, does it say how many songs I have on here? No, Apple's so much better at this. Let me go to Apple Music. Hang on a second. All right. So if I go over to Apple Music and look, I have, let's see, how many songs do I actually have? Does it show me? Your music. Let's see. I have 165 songs as Garrett Michael Conklin that have been released. And on Apple Music, I've had 825,700 streams. So I'm almost to a million on Apple, and that's literally just 2021. So it's like a million, maybe I'll make it to a million by the end of the year. So not nearly as, well, actually I shouldn't complain about that, right? So if I said, yeah, it's a fraction. It's like what did I say? I had like 13 million on Spotify over 2 years. Yeah. So that's a lot less. That's like a 10th of the volume, but nevertheless, I'm not complaining about the fact that I have, you know, almost, I have over 750,000 streams on Apple. That's all Dashco. Again, that's really good, but you know, that's awesome. I can look at, you know, the Lo-Fi Chill Hop Study Beats playlist from, Dashco. I have 460,000 plays just from that playlist alone. So this is, again, this is not individual people playing my songs. This is the fact that I'm affiliated with a distributor that has a really powerful playlist set. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 playlists that I've been on that have accumulated almost a million streams for me. And for them, right? I mean, you know, they're getting 15% of my, a 15% cut of all this too. So, but my point is, at least it's legit. I mean, I can count on almost every release that I have with them. Let me look at, you know, my music real quick. Yeah, I mean, most of my stuff is pretty close to 100,000. You know, the ones that I've done through Dashco, and it's not fair because I have, you know, 165 songs I do not have through Dashco. But I have like Beaches and Dreams has 71,346. You know, Nightlight 50,854. Softly Said 49,278. You know, I'm doing pretty good, and these are legit. Like, people have bought these songs. There's Shazams. There's hundreds of daily listeners. All that stuff. It's legit over here. So I'm building more on Apple because of Dashco. But my complaint is through Spotify because they try to promote the fact that they actually give a shit about an independent artist, and they don't. I mean, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing that's going to take me to the next level on Spotify that I already haven't done? And the fact that they gave me 3 songs on an editorial, you know, there's artists that have 20 songs placed on editorials that are small indie artists. So, I mean, what the hell? You're really telling me the last 40 or 50 songs that I released are just total shit and they're not worth going on a playlist? You can't throw me a bone. You hooked it up for 2 years and now I'm just done on that fucking platform? It's real aggravating. So I know this is, you know, I don't know if people like or dislike these kinds of podcasts where I just go off on tangents and bitch and complain about everything, but that to me is a bunch of horseshit. And I can't stand a bunch of lying sacks of shit that go out and promote and say, yeah, we're there for the indie artist and we're trying to grow. And I get emails all the time about come to this workshop and do, fuck you. It's all bullshit if you don't put people on the playlists. And then even further goes the bullshit. So pull your hip waders up high, people, because just because I have 15 million streams on Spotify, I only have like 950 followers. What the hell is that shit? That's crazy. I mean, for crying out loud, I have more freaking followers on this podcast that I've been doing for a few months than I have over almost three and a half years of being on Spotify. That's just absolutely, it's bullshit. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Like I said, I refuse to invest any money in promotion for Spotify and try to get people to listen to my music. That I will not do it because it does not yield shit. It yields nothing. It's absolutely ridiculous. I've spent thousands of dollars trying to promote my brand, myself, my everything, my music, all this links, YouTube, all that shit. I'm not doing squat. So I'm happy to put out music, like I've said countless times. And I would encourage you, as I was just bitching about the publishing, make sure you do that. But I would encourage you to get into the habit and get used to and get comfortable with failing. And I've said this in other podcasts and other episodes, obviously, but being able to be comfortable, and clearly I'm not that comfortable with it. It's very aggravating for me to fail, but I'm failing. And it sucks, but you have to get comfortable with that because this is not a short game at all for most of us. Yes, there are people that just out of nowhere blow up and get really big and have all this luck and fortune and good fortune and things like that happen to them, and they get multi-millions of streams and millions of followers and fans and all that crap. That ain't me, and I bet it ain't you. So the vast majority of us have to struggle through. I was just actually talking to my buddy Matt the other day. We were talking about crypto and all that stuff, and we did a bunch of songs, you know, years ago, and did some collabs and stuff like that. And he's one of those artists that never even got the taste of success that I got. And it's a good argument to say, well, you know, what's better, one or the other, having had it and lost it, or never having had it at all? It's hard to argue. I don't know. From my vantage point, having seen it grow is absolute fucking bullshit, because for me now it's so distasteful because I got a taste of what that success was like and felt as if, look, yeah, I'm on my way. I've gotten a taste of it. It's starting to go and things are starting to move in the right direction. And then all of a sudden, bam, they drop all three of my songs and I'm down to 1,000 listeners a month. It's, you know, it's like I was up at 250 fucking thousand and I went down to 1,000. Are you shitting me? But I guess at the same time, if you've been doing this for 3 years and never got put on a playlist, you'd probably be equally as butthurt as I am, because that's absolute bullshit. And this guy does good stuff. I like his music. It's really good. It's quality. You know, it's great recording. He had it professionally mastered, all that stuff. You know, it's really good music. So it's just such a crapshoot, this music thing. And it's so friggin' aggravating because there's no reason that they don't put certain people on and they let certain people. It's like this exclusive club. You're either in it or you're not. I'm fucking so sick of that shit in society. It's just with everything else. You're either, and then the bottom line is, once you get to a certain point and when you don't need it anymore is when you keep getting more of it. And they ignore people like me and potentially you, who actually need the boost to get somewhere. You get fucking nothing. Ah, it's just infuriating for me to have to deal with something like that. Like I said, when I can go do a freaking podcast like this, that, like, I don't know, a dozen or two people listen to, but I actually make more money off this stupid podcast than I do off of music. And I don't mean stupid that I think this podcast is stupid. I love doing this and I'm glad that I'm making money doing it because it's wonderful. And I hope that one day it's evolves enough where I can actually do this for a living. I'd love to be able to be just talk. I'm starting to catch my stride, I think, in life. And, you know, I'm old, I'm 49, so I'm like real late to the party, so to speak. But at the same time, I'm really starting to feel like I found a spot that makes a lot of sense for me. And a lot of it has to do with the information that I can share and inspire in people to be able to do things. Like in my professional career, I'm a director of engineering, a director of technology. So in that world, at this point, I'm able to help companies very much get on track and get things going and fix their fucked up, broken, busted ass cultures and really inspire people because of who I am as a person at this point in my life. So all of the beatings that I've been taking for all these years may actually finally pay off in the fact that I have a lot to contribute in terms of the experience that I have at this point. You know, I'm an old man compared to probably a lot of people that listen to this, or maybe you're the same age as me, but you know, 49 is not a spring chicken, man. I've been grinding for 30 plus years doing whatever I've been doing, whether it's music, whether it's business, whether it's technology, all that stuff has been a struggle for me. But that struggle has finally culminated into like this, you know, package that I am, that I should be an evangelist is what I truly should be, because I can come into your organization and inspire you and your team to do things the right way. And that's maybe something that's in my career. I mean, I'm really happy with where I am right now, even though I really don't like driving to work and having to get up so early in the morning. That's not my cup of tea, but I really think I'm going to hit my stride once and for all. And I just probably fucking jinxed myself. Knock on wood, I didn't. But, you know, now that I'm going to go ahead and say out loud, yeah, it's probably going to work out really great, I'm sure everything will fucking collapse on me like it always does. But I honestly think that I have huge value to an organization where I can bring disparities and people that are toxic and cultures that aren't working, and the dynamic and the energy and the motivation that I bring to the table can really help align your team and build this wonderful culture inside your organization that will take you to the next level. So I think what I found is in the EOS system, the entrepreneurial operating system model of doing business, you know, which is for companies that are roughly, I think it's, is it 10 to 249? I don't know. They kind of encapsulate it in some kind of size in terms of the number of people where it works and where it doesn't. So I think it's more than 10 and less than 250. So if your company falls in that size, the EOS model of operating works well for your company. If you're too big, it doesn't work. If you're just a raw startup with, you know, a handful of people, it you're too chaotic, it doesn't work there either. So you got to be kind of in this bubble, this perfect size. But if you're inside of that, man, I have the ability to fix so many of your problems because I've seen so much of this shit go wrong and so much of it go right that I really do bring that kind of acumen and experience to the table. So I'm wondering that if, you know, what that's called in this system was what I was going to say is called the integrator. So I'm not a visionary. I'm not going to be a CEO. I don't meet that criteria. I don't have that relentless drive like that. But what I do have is the ability to bridge the gaps between visionary and everybody else. So I'm real excited to be taking that on. This new role that I have is named me as an integrator based on my job description and the layout of this company. And I'm really excited to get started and see what I can really do in that space, because I think that if, for example, things weren't to work out for this organization, I'm almost believing at this point in my heart and soul that I'd be able to go and freelance and be an integrator for an organization all on my own and just kind of bounce around between companies and be like a private consultant for them and help bring their team strategically back on track and get everything rolling through the EOS operating model of business. And I think that would be a really fun thing to do. But on that 30 minutes, I'm trying to get back down to like a 30 minute window on these podcasts. Cause I just blast forever and they go on. And, you know, I mean, it's a monologue, so it's just me talking, but point taken. It's 32 minutes, so I'm gonna clip the wings right here and stop. But hey, thanks for the support. I appreciate it. Ups, downs, all in between. It's been great. I'm glad everyone follows. If you like what you're hearing, 5-star me on Apple Podcasts or whatever you're listening on. That really does help rank the podcast up and get other people listening. And I appreciate it. I don't know what else I can say, but thanks for being a part of my journey and listening to all of the banter that I have to expel on all of you. With that, I'm out. Have a good weekend. Be safe. Feel the love. Do what makes you happy. And I'll talk to you soon.